choco, choco, clap, clap, a choco, choco, clap, clap, everybody say a chocolate, here we go, a choco, choco, clap, clap, a choco, choco, clap, clap, everybody say a chocolate. So who else wants chocolate for Christmas? How about for breakfast? How about some toffee? How about some chocolate-covered cherries or angel food or peppermint bark or a Yule log? I just named all my favorites. What other sweet treat do you enjoy over the holidays? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, December 17th. I am so looking forward to this hour. We will be talking about holiday treats and candy making. We'll get some tips for making our own and some great ideas for candy gifts. We'll be talking with two candy experts. One of them happens to be blind, and we'll find out how he makes luscious treats and owns his own Wisconsin candy store, confections for any occasion. That's coming up in our next half hour. And all hour, we will be talking with the creator of a line of toffee and caramels and the co-founder of a decadent cafe, the Chocolatarian in Madison, and we'll welcome your questions for both of them and your favorite holiday sweets that you buy or make or get as gifts. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on our Facebook page, The Joy Cardine Show, or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. Leanne Cordisco is the founder of Popular Snacks, creator of Christine's Toffee and Caramels, and co-founder of the Chocolatarian in Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It's great to be here.
It's nice to have you here. You are an engineer by trade and were in the corporate world for many years before having this line of candies and opening the Chocolatarian. How did you make the journey from engineer to candy maker?
Well, it started with a trip to Italy, which is a funny thing to hear somebody say about a candy journey. But I was on vacation in Italy, traveling from olive grove to olive grove and vineyard to vineyard, and thinking that I wanted to go to all the beautiful places in the world and have it be my day job. And I came up with an idea for a wine accessory that I thought would be very useful at the time. And I knew I needed to find an angel investor. So when I decided that, the very next day I ran into an old college professor of mine, Dennis Collins from Edgewood College. And we were chatting. He asked me what I was up to, and I told him about my idea, and I asked, you wouldn't happen to know any angel investors? And he said, why, yes, I'm meeting with one this Friday. Would you like to go meet Sam Jacobson with me? And I said, sure, who's Sam Jacobson? Not being from Wisconsin originally, I didn't know that Sam Jacobson was the founder of the PDQ convenience store chain, mm-hmm. Self-Made Millionaire, and a wonderful man, serial entrepreneur, and a good Samaritan of all kinds. So I went with Dennis and his Edgewood College class to meet Sam. We talked about business in general, but I never talked about my ideas. And at the end of that time, I was very thankful to have met Sam, but I didn't think anything would come of it. The following Monday, I got an email from Dennis Collins saying that Sam would like to meet with me again. So I called up his secretary and made an appointment for the following day. So 1 week after I decided I needed to look for an angel investor, I was sitting one-on-one with Sam Jacobson, telling him my ideas for business. And he said, well, Leanne, I'm not interested in wine accessory. I don't like wine. Thank you very much. And so I was packing up my things to leave. And he said, but wait, Leanne, I like you. I want to invest in you. And he said that he had been looking for years for somebody to start a candy business with him. And he said, I think you're that person. So we just started business with me. And I said, yes. And I had never made candy before. So I said yes to starting the company before I started making candy.
So how did you educate yourself from scratch to make candy?
Well, I'm a foodie. I've always been just crazy about it. My second memory on this planet is helping my mom make meatballs, and you know, always helped in the kitchen for any holiday occasion, every daily occasion. Cooking was always my thing. Food is love in an Italian family. And so the food part came naturally to me. And the candy part came pretty easily to me because I have that engineering background. So I understand precision. I understand mm-hmm. how to follow a recipe, how to make things precise over and over again. So it all just seemed to kind of come together. A lot of business experience taught me how to run a business, you know, being in the corporate world for so long. Being an engineer taught me precision. Being a foodie just, you know, it was a natural passion. So those things combined pretty nicely to make a candy maker out of me.
Wow. And, you know, chocolate and wine go pretty well together.
Yes, they do.
Maybe that's the next thing. But anyway, the Chocolatarian, if I'm not mistaken, opened almost exactly 1 year ago.
Mm-hmm. We've been open now for 13 months.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. And it is, what are some of the sweet creations we can find there?
Well, we are known for something called an ugly cookie, which is a chocolate chip cookie with toffee in it, pistachios, cocoa nibs, and oats. Mm. And what makes that so wonderful, and one of the things that we like to look for in all the things that we create, is it's got balance and complexity and depth. And that's, I think that that's what's really interesting in candy or in food in general. Something just can't be sweet or just can't be savory. For me, it has to have a mix of those flavors. So sweet and savory together, sweet and salty together. And that's one of the things that makes the ugly cookie so good. Even with our caramels, it's a sea salt caramel. So you've got that sweetness from the caramel. You've also got some saltiness. Mm-hmm. The complexity is what makes it interesting to me. And it's also what I think really draws our customers to it.
Yum, yum. And you are making Yule logs for the holiday season?
We are making Yule logs, which are wonderful if you've never seen them. It's a rolled cake that looks like a tree stump, and it's decorated with meringue mushrooms that look like they're growing out of the side of the tree. the icing of the cake is scraped so it looks like bark. And if you're perhaps 3 or 4 feet away from one of these things, you really can't tell that you're not looking at a chunk of log that's sitting on a plate decorated, you know, for the holiday season. But when you cut into it, it's something certainly very different.
Oh, I remember having a Yule log, probably not as good as one I would get at the Chocolatarian, but I remember that growing up, we'd get those every once in a while for the holiday table, and that would be the dessert. Do you know the story behind that?
Well, there are a number of stories that I've heard. The one that I like is that years ago, when families in France would celebrate the holiday, they would go out and find a very large log, a single log, to burn on Christmas Eve. And that one single log would keep the hearth burning for the entire night, keep the family warm for the entire night. And that had morphed into one large log-shaped edible cake. So it's a representation of a single log that was used to keep the family warm for the night, which is now just edible and keeps you warm by adding a few calories instead.
Yeah. Well, I did. We weren't going to concentrate so much on cookies this hour, but other confections. But cookies are super popular for the holidays. And I just made, with my sister, I'm not that great, but we made the peanut butter kiss cookie, that we made the little spritzes. They're mm-hmm. little spritz cookies, cutout type cookies with a press. We did make a new one, which was an oatmeal chocolate chip with sea salt. I'd never made a cookie with sea salt before. You put the sea salt on the top. And it is so good. And you use a lot of brown sugar and butter, and it tastes caramely too.
Yes,
from
absolutely.
That, you know, so. Do you have any favorite things that maybe you don't make at the Chocolatarian, but that you like around the holiday season?
Well, the first product that we made in Popular Snacks was actually a popcorn ball. And that's very seasonal. It's very much a holiday candy. And it was something that Sam Jacobson's mom used to make for him when he was a little boy. His mom's name was Christine, which is why our candies are called Christine's Toffees and Caramels. So it started with Christine's popcorn balls, but we couldn't get that idea off the ground. But a popcorn ball is, in essence, you're going to make a glue out of sugar and a little bit of butter and cocoa powder and boil that until it's nice and bubbly and caramely. Temperature isn't horribly important, but a little bit important. And then you just pour it over some pre-popped popcorn and then form it together into a ball, and it turns into this wonderful chewy, sticky saltiness that you've got a little bit of crunch from the popcorn. You got the chewiness from this caramel sauce, this chocolate caramel sauce, which has the taste and the consistency of a Tootsie Roll, and certainly a holiday favorite for a lot of families.
Oh, does that sound delicious? I haven't had a popcorn ball in I don't know how long. That sounds really good. Well, what sounds good to you around the holidays? What are some of your favorite holiday treats? Do you need some advice on creating a perfect holiday candy? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Sitting on the front porch, ice cream in my hand, melting in the sun, all that chocolate on my tongue, and that's good enough reason to live.
Yes, chocolate is a good enough reason to live. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 20 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Tuesday, December 17th. We are talking about holiday candies and candy making with Leanne Cordisco. She is the founder of Popular Snacks, creator of Christine's Toffee and Caramels, and co-founder of The Chocolatarian in Madison. And we're welcoming your questions for her. We're welcoming your favorite holiday treats at 1-800-642-1234. Are you making any sweet treats this holiday season? What questions do you have? You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org, or you can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We do have some callers, so let's go to Jim in Saukville first. Hi, Jim.
Good morning.
Morning. What's your favorite?
My favorites are dark chocolate based, either almond bark or dark chocolate covered toffee, which I hardly ever find.
Yum. That does sound good. Do you ever make it yourself?
I never have. I'd like to get a recipe, though, and try it out one day.
Is it hard to make an almond bark or something like that, Leanne?
Barks are relatively easy to make and really fun to make, and a great project to include family members. So a bark is a layer of chocolate, whether it be dark chocolate, white chocolate, or milk chocolate, with something embellishing the top of it, kind of sprinkled on the top of it. Almonds and chocolate are a classic combination, so I'm not surprised that Jim loves it so much. Toffee, a little more difficult to make. Having a recipe there, and more importantly, having a thermometer there is what you would need to be successful. But bark is about being creative. It allows you to be just trying new combinations of flavors, and it just, even by accident, even if you've never made candy before, bark just looks beautiful because of how organic it is and how the nuts look sprinkled on top of the chocolate. So you've picked a good one there.
Yeah,
I approve.
I do too. Is it hard to find dark chocolate covered toffee?
Not at the Chocolatarian. we exclusively cover our toffees with dark chocolate. I prefer the dark chocolate with something sweet like toffee or caramel, only because the dark chocolate is going to have a slightly more bitter flavor to balance the sweetness of the caramels or the toffees. So again, looking at balance, if you have sweet and bitter together or sweet and salty together, it's going to be more interesting to your palate. And so having a dark chocolate toffee, you can have that flavor combination. It's going to be more interesting to your palate, perhaps, in a milk chocolate and toffee, because it's just going to come across as sweet. So adding salt adds another flavor dimension, makes it even that much more interesting to your palate.
Now, I know you can't really conduct a toffee-making, candy-making lesson on the radio, but it sounds like you need a candy thermometer. Can you just kind of give us the basics on what exactly is in a toffee?
Sure, absolutely. Toffees and caramels are, in essence, the same thing cooked at different temperatures. It's sugar of some sort and dairy of some sort boiled. that's it in a nutshell. The ratio of sugar to dairy is one of the things that differentiates caramels from toffees. We use a lot more heavy cream in our caramel than we do in our toffees. But a caramel, we cook to typically 244 degrees, so about 30 degrees past the boiling point of water. Our toffees, we cook to 300 degrees Fahrenheit, well past the boiling point of water. And the difference between the texture that you get in caramel, that soft chewiness, that kind of melt in your mouth feel, and the texture of toffee that's, you know, crunchier, is simply that you've driven off all the water that you possibly can from the sugar, taking it well past the boiling point. And the farther you take the candy past the boiling point of water, the harder it becomes, the more brittle it becomes. And that gives you that difference in texture.
That just sounds so delicious. And thank you. I never really knew the difference between caramel and toffee, and now I do.
50 degrees.
Yeah,
yep.
That's very neat. And I love the barks. I never used to, but for some reason I started really enjoying around the holidays the peppermint barks, which I think is a dark chocolate, a white chocolate with, at least the types mm-hmm. I've had, with just, you know, like a candy cane type mixture on top of it. Is that basically it?
That's basically it. And mm-hmm. and what I found is that it's best not to mess with those perfect recipes. Mm-hmm. We've tried altering it, adding peppermint oil to one of the layers of chocolate, and it's completely unnecessary. There are some things that just work. Peanut butter and jelly just works. dark chocolate, white chocolate, and crushed up candy canes just works. And so we try not to screw it up.
Thanks a lot for the call. Mary in Pewaukee is with us now. Hi, Mary.
Yes, good morning. Speaking of Italy, we decided to make biscotti last night, and we did, and it turned out well. So we must have gotten a pretty good recipe. We put walnuts and cranberries in it, and not exactly a holiday treat, but we had been to Italy last year and always wanted to do this, and we finally got around to it. And also, I don't know if I missed something, but how did your entrepreneurial idea, were you ever able to make that come to fruition? This is a guess.
Well, congratulations on the biscotti.
Thank you.
Biscotti meaning twice baked. So if you haven't made biscotti before, you cook the loaf, then you slice the loaf, and then you put it back into the oven. And that's what gives each individual slice of biscotti that nice crunch, that great texture. I've made biscotti at the holiday times, over the holiday times for years, because it's such a perfect gift. You can make it, and then it will last for a few weeks. You know, put a little cellophane bag with a bow, and bingo, you've got yourself a gift. Now, the wine accessory that I was looking to make originally has come to market under a few different names, but my idea was I was always afraid to buy a bottle of olive oil or a bottle of wine and put it into my checked luggage to bring it back with me, because I was afraid it would break and ruin the things in my suitcase. So I came up with an idea for a very thick, like a 12 mil thick plastic bag that had a layer of bubble wrap in it, and it was wine bottle shaped and would have a resealable top, excuse me. So you could take a bottle of olive oil or wine and stick it into this $4 bag, seal it up, and put it into your checked luggage, so that if your suitcase got beat up and the bottle broke, the contents of that bottle would stay in the bag rather than ruin the goods that you've got in your suitcase. And
that's a great idea. And I've seen a similar product.
I know.
Yeah.
Darn it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. In fact, I picked one up at a local wine shop in Madison once, but I didn't use it to actually pack my own wine. I used it to give it as a gift, and I thought it would just be safer, you know, in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah.
That's really something. Well, and the since we're talking about biscotti, that reminded me of, usually have that with your coffee, but you could have that with a nice thick hot chocolate, couldn't you?
You absolutely could.
You're famous at the Chocolatarian for your hot chocolate. I understand it's thick enough to stand a spoon in it. Tell us what your secret to your hot chocolate.
Lots of chocolate. Mm. So an American style hot chocolate, the ratio is perhaps 70% or 80% milk to about 20% chocolate. Our Parisian style hot chocolate, we just flip that ratio. So it's about 70% chocolate to about 30% dairy, which is a Wisconsin dairy, Sassy Cow from Sun Prairie. We love their heavy cream and their milks. Gorgeous, gorgeous products. And so it's about 70% Calabo Belgian dark chocolate, and then a mix of that Sun Prairie dairy, heavy cream and milk. And the idea is, we want to give you the experience of drinking a truffle. So it's very velvety, and it's got this wonderful, lush mouthfeel. And that specific first sip is what I was going for. It just has to hit your palate and just be warm and lovely. And a piece of cranberry walnut biscotti dunked into that, oh, I think would be a fantastic little holiday treat.
Well, we're going to be checking news in about a minute or so. So let me remind listeners that we are talking about holiday sweets and treats, candies and candy making, and we're welcoming your favorites. Do you make some sort of candy this time of year? Do you look for a special treat that says the holidays to you? Like maybe the peppermint bark or almond bark or a Yule log or something else. One thing I remember my mom loved, and I still sometimes like to have them around the holidays, are those cherry cordials or the chocolate-covered cherry. That just brings back some good memories. What about you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Leanne Cordisco. She is the founder of Popular Snacks, creator of Christine's Toffee and Caramels, co-founder of The Chocolatarian in Madison. We will welcome in another candy maker after we check the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
Satisfying and delicious. Ice cream in my hand, melting in the sun, all that chocolate on my tongue, and that's good enough reason to live.
So is there any treat better than chocolate? What are your favorite holiday treats and candies? Are you making anything this year? Do you hope to get a favorite sweet or treat as a gift? Do you share a special sweet with others over the holiday season? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Tuesday, December 17th. We have been talking with a candy-making expert, Leanne Cordisco, the creator of Christine's Toffee and Caramels, co-founder of the Chocolatarian Cafe in Madison. She stays with us in this half hour, and we will welcome in a second candy-making guest who has a unique story to share, as well as some of his secrets to his confections. They'll both answer your candy-making questions and respond to your favorite holiday treats at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Joel Bernhard is a chef and candy maker. He is owner of Confections for Any Occasion in Theresa, Wisconsin. And he has been blind since he was 4 years old. Good morning, Joel.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So you have been blind since you were 4 years old. How did you become a candy maker?
Well, kind of all started when I was young, and I took 4-H and FFA, which is some youth groups where I took food and nutrition for the first 10 years in 4-H. And my mom kind of showed me how to, you know, I could feel the difference between sours and sugars. You can smell, you know, all your different tastes, you're smelling for different extracts. Of course, you can taste different ingredients. You can feel when you're mixing the batters and doughs together if they're mixed well enough. You can feel when you're portioning out, you know, the cookies on the cookie trays. And you can smell when they were done baking. And then I got to eat them at the end, which was the best part. So kind of a win-win situation. So plus I could be creative by adding different ingredients, different flavorings, and, you know, kind of changing the recipe a little bit. And so I really kind of enjoyed cooking and baking. So after high school, I went to Culinary Arts School at Marine Park Technical College in Fond du Lac, where I received an associate's degree in Culinary Arts. And one of our classes was a baking class. Was we made chocolate truffles. And chocolate truffles, I learned, was a combination of heavy cream, chocolate, butter, and liquor or flavoring, which is all mixed together into what the French call ganache. And then we pour that in the shell pan to cool and set. And then we scoop it out into small balls, a little smaller than the size of a grape. And then we dip that in more chocolate. And he said, what's better, chocolate-covered chocolate?
That is, that's got to be a favorite, chocolate-covered chocolate. That so it your sense of taste and touch and smell all aid you in the candy making. How do you navigate your way around the kitchen?
Just lots of memory. Everything's memorized, and everything's got to be put back in the same place. So when I go back to get something, it's hopefully still there. And I designed the kitchen and the whole store. It was empty, so when we took it over, it was an old general store. So it's kind of fun because it's got the original hardwood floors, which creak, so I can tell where everybody is when they're walking around, so then we can sneak out. And just designed it the way I wanted to and laid it out the way I wanted it. And just memorization, just kind of memorize where everything is.
Well, I've yet to visit your place, but I hope to sometime. I actually do make it to the Theresa area on a fairly regular basis, so I'm going to have to look for you. What unique or holiday-themed candies are you making this holiday season?
Well, we kind of specialize in novelty chocolates as well as our gourmet chocolates, like different shaped chocolates, and that's what we kind of really specialize in as well. And those are like chocolate pops, which include like trees and angels and bells and stars and Santa Clauses and many different shapes and styles, which are on like sucker sticks. So they work great for on top of presents or for sticking in with presents or stockings. We also do larger 3D chocolates such as trees and sleighs, snowmen, Santas that are like a foot tall. They weigh over 5 pounds.
Wow. Sounds like my kind of snowman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 5 pound solid chocolate, white chocolate snowman. So we really feature many different types. We have probably about 30 different, at least 30 different novelty chocolates for the holiday season. Plus our chocolate truffles are huge. I make different flavored chocolate truffles and beer truffles and soda truffles. And toffee and just many different bulk chocolates or gourmet chocolates or candy case.
So do you have a personal favorite? I understand that you make a creation called a berry bog.
Yes, I created a confection called a berry bog, which is similar to the turtle that everybody is familiar with, you know. But it's got a different twist on it, Wisconsin twist on it. I use dried cranberries and cherries from Wisconsin mixed with chopped almonds. Covered in our chewy, delicious caramel, and then all dipped in our velvety milk or dark chocolate.
Wow.
That's one of my favorites.
You know, it sounds like it's also got a little bit of a nice little Wisconsin twist to it, if you can put
it. Yeah, most definitely it does. And we try and keep everything local and support the local businesses and buy all local ingredients. We're a member of the Something Special from Wisconsin program, so we probably feature that on our products. And we carry many other Wisconsin gourmet foods in our store as well.
I did see on your website my mother's favorite Christmas or holiday time candy. That's the only time we ever had it in the house, were the chocolate covered cherries or the cherry cordials. Now, are those?
Oh.
Do you make those, or do you just get that from somewhere else?
No, we make those. We do the old traditional way where we make a fondant. And then we cook that, and then we dip the cherries into it and make the little cherry balls, and then we let those harden, and then we dip those in chocolate, and then we let them sit so they get nice and creamy, and then they're ready for sale. So they're a lot of work, but they're mostly delicious. Very worth it.
They are mostly delicious. We have callers who are lining up, so let me remind listeners that if you'd like to join in with a question about candy making or treat making, or if you want to share a favorite holiday treat, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are fortunate to have with us two candy makers, Joel Bernhard and Leanne Cordisco. And our next caller is Ellen in Madison. Hello, Ellen.
Hello. How is everyone this morning?
I'm hungry. How about you?
Yes, it does kind of make you hungry, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. What's your question, Ellen?
I have a question. My aunt always made an almond toffee bark, or an almond toffee covered with chocolate, and it was such a special treat. And I have made it in the past and done it really successfully, but this time it separated weird. And I think the problem was that I was using a nonstick pan and that I might have done it too fast. And it goes up, it's pretty high. I can't remember, like 325 is, and I used a candy thermometer. My other question is, when you're stirring toffee, how are you supposed to keep the candy thermometer in it while you're stirring it so it doesn't burn?
Let Leanne handle this one first.
Good questions. So let me ask you one question. When you said it didn't turn out so well, was it and it separated? Did you end up with a product that had like a real sandy kind of texture?
No, it was really oily.
Oily. Okay.
It was like the butter. Yeah, the butter kind of separated.
Okay. Okay.
It still tasted really good. Don't get me wrong. It still tasted wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. So more than likely what happened is that all of the sugar didn't melt before you added the butter. And basically what's happening here is that you're trying to melt the sugar crystals first, and then once the sugar crystals are melted, add in dairy, and that's what's going to give you that wonderful homogeneous texture. And if all the sugar crystals aren't melted, what those little pesky things are going to do are try to grow back. And stirring, agitating it will actually encourage those little sugar crystals to grow. So what I would recommend, and without seeing just exactly what failed or what happened to your toffee, I'm hoping that I'm giving you good advice here, but my recommendation would be to make sure that all of the sugar that you start with is completely melted and you're at a good rolling boil with it before you add any of your butter or heavy cream. Go ahead.
In my recipe, and not that I'm arguing with you at all, but the recipe I got from my aunt was just, okay, a cup of this and a cup of that, throw it in together, and you're done, and boil it, which is not working very well. So it's, just assuming this is correct, a pound of butter, three cups of sugar, and three cups of almonds. So I should do the sugar by itself first?
Yeah, and the recipe sounds fine. What I would recommend to try to prevent something like this from happening in the future, and I know some of you out there will go, oh, really? She's going to say this? But here's a little secret. Corn syrup.
Corn syrup.
Corn syrup. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of Karo corn syrup. So to that one cup of sugar, add maybe a tablespoon or two of corn syrup. It's not going to affect the flavor of your recipe at all, but that corn syrup is like taking out a little insurance policy against the sugar recrystallizing. What's happening at a molecular level is that when that sugar melts and when the corn syrup melts, the corn syrup is going to try to prevent the sugar from recrystallizing. Candy makers have been doing this for a very long time. And just using that very, very, very slight amount isn't really going to impact the flavor of the candy at all. And it's a great trick. Many, many candy makers use it successfully. And I would certainly recommend trying that.
And what about with the candy thermometer in the pot? How do you deal with that?
What I use is an infrared thermometer. Now, which is in essence it looks like a little gun, like a little pistol almost that I picked up at the Home Depot. And you actually don't submerge the thermometer into the toffee as it's cooking. You just point and shoot. And then a little infrared beam hits the top of the candy and bounces back to the thermometer and tells you what the temperature is. And so it's a lot safer because you're not actually immersing anything into the candy, so you're a lot less likely to get scalded. So that's one thing you can do. You can try to use a binder clip to attach to, the thermometer to the side of the pot that you're using. I'd recommend using a high-walled pot so that the bubbles from the caramel mixture don't splash up and burn you if you're holding on to the thermometer. If you are holding on to the thermometer, please wear a glove or have yourself protected somehow, long sleeves. I've got many, many little blisters, burns on my wrists I was not doing that.
We have a break coming up. I wondered, Joel, if you had anything to add, and I was especially curious, too, on how you deal with the temperature issue. Do you have some sort of special equipment that helps you determine the temperature that your candy's at?
Mm-hmm. I use the talking thermometer, which kind of gets me close, but it's not calibrated. Easy to, you know, can't really calibrate it, so then somebody's got to have to kind of just help me read the candy. We use a candy thermometer, one that sticks into the pot and clips to the sidewall, and the ruler type, which we think is the best way. And somebody says you have to watch over it, and a lot of it is actually done by feel and smell, too. You can really feel it and smell it and, you know, make sure that the sugar's all dissolved, like Lena has said, and that's the key thing that you did dissolve before you get it boiling, and you can really feel that with a spoon that you're using to stir it with, and just kind of go by. I do more by smell and by feel, and you know, some people do have to watch. You know, my employees are always there, so mm-hmm. they're helping me with the temperature. But that's what I do.
We will take more of your calls about holiday treats and candies and confections and your questions and your favorites at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about chocolate and other holiday treats with two candy making experts and welcoming your questions for them, your favorites for them. They are Leanne Cordisco, the founder of Popular Snacks, creator of Christine's Toffee and Caramels, co-founder of the Chocolatarian Cafe in Madison, and Joel Bernhard, chef and candy maker, owner of Confections for Any Occasion in Theresa, Wisconsin. And our next caller is Helen in Madison. Hello, Helen.
Hello.
Hello, Helen. How old are you?
I'm 9 years old.
Wonderful. Do you have a favorite treat?
Yes. It's the lemon tart. It's so good.
The lemon tart. Now, is that a lemon tart that you can get at the Chocolatarian by any chance?
Mm-hmm.
I love you, Helen.
Now, is Helen a relative? Leanne, I'm just teasing. That is from, what's your lemon tart all about?
Okay, well, a lemon tart is a shortbread tart shell filled with a lemon curd. Lemon curd being eggs and sugar boiled to a specific temperature. And it's, again, a balance between sweet and kind of that tangy acidity from the lemon. And it's just a wonderful little treat. It's one of the few non-chocolate things that we sell. And it's got a great texture. And you really get a good flavor from the egg yolks that we use, as well as the little lemony bite.
Now, do you have any cookies that you would consider holiday cookies?
Well, I like to think that the ugly cookie is a cookie for any occasion.
And Joel, your candy's not cookies, is that right?
Yeah, correctly. We just do the primary chocolates, and I started doing cookies when I first actually started, but just moved into the chocolate part of the confection.
Yeah. Let's take another call from Katie in Madison. Hello, Katie.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So I have a question about making chocolate-covered espresso beans. I thought they'd be a great holiday gift, especially for coffee drinkers in the family. And if it's, I guess, you know, I want to be able to make them myself, but also if you have any suggestions on where to get those locally in the Madison area, that'd be great, too. And I'll take my answer off there.
All right, so... chocolate-covered espresso beans. Leanne, do you have any ideas?
Well, chocolate-covered espresso beans are harder to do than you think. Most candy makers will use something called a panning machine, which is like a little cement mixer that spins. You add the chocolate, you add the espresso beans and the chocolate, and it's going to spin and spin and spin and give you a very even coating of chocolate on the espresso beans. The thing is that they're kind of expensive. If you try doing it by hand, you certainly can. You'll be dipping beans individually. And if you're a patient woman, then that'll be a fun afternoon. As far as purchasing them locally, I believe that, off the top of my head, when I've used them, I've gotten them from a place called Elegant Foods on the east side. It's a wholesale bakery supply place, but I believe that they will sell to the public. It's a really great company. They have a ton of really wonderful ingredients to use, Elegant Foods.
All right. Thanks a lot for the call. Joel, any comment on chocolate-covered espresso beans?
She said, they're done, made the same way in the panning. We do sell them in our store, and we actually sell tons of them. We have just dark chocolate ones, because those are the most popular that we get requests for. And we go through pounds of them every week. Very, very popular, and a lot of people keep coming back for them, and bikers, and different people that get passing through, and people just lovers of coffee. We sell many types of them, and they are, I think, on our website as well.
You know what we haven't talked about that is another holiday favorite in our household, or was at least growing up? Peanut brittle. Who makes a peanut brittle or almond brittle or any of that kind of stuff?
Okay. No. Well, brittle is actually a first cousin of toffee. And you're going to take that same mixture, butter and sugar, boil the life out of it, take it up to about 300 degrees. And with toffee, you would just pour it out at that point and let it cool and break. With brittle, you're going to add baking soda. And the baking soda, when you add it into the toffee at that very high temperature, 300 degrees, it just blooms, and it causes the toffee to expand and get these tiny little air bubbles, which are actually carbon dioxide, I believe, in it. And that's what makes it brittle, that it's that rapid expansion, these little tiny pockets of air that get kind of trapped into the candy and makes it just a little crunchier.
I love it, Leanne. This is like a science lesson, too, with you. But, you know, Joel, we have just a minute to go, and I wanted to talk to you. Don't you... are you doing something with bacon this year?
Yes, we are. We actually have started making chocolate-covered bacon about August, and it's been very, very, very popular. A lot of requests for it. Of course, people go to State Fair, and they see it there. But we can do our own version, a smaller version, just a small piece of it. And we use the local bacon, Jones Dairy Bacon, out of Fort Atkinson. And we cook that. We bake that off until it's nice and crisp. We let it drain, so it's get all the fat, most of the fat off of it. And then we dip it in our luscious milk chocolate. And it's all cooked. It's all covered in chocolate, so it keeps for a couple of days or up to a week, and we can package it or just sell it out of our candy case.
Well, I wish we had more time, but we don't. Joel and Leanne, thank you both very much for joining us. I am so hungry, and I wish you both a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, and happy holidays to everybody out there, too.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.